you're listening to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. This is Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Dr. Mark Green, Assistant Professor at Ball State in Environmental Sciences and Biology. That's a mouthful.
I guess it is.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for coming.
Well, thank you for having me.
So let's just dig right in. So kind of you wear a million hats, I feel like, in this community. You are really involved with environmental science issues. You were one of the co-conspirators for Earth Day.
Right, certainly.
And so that's kind of how we got to know each other last year. You guys planned this big Earth Day, and you were trying to do an even bigger, better Earth Day festival this year, and COVID-19 hit, and, you know, the world is different.
It is certainly a different place.
So, go ahead.
Well, that Earth Day, I really haven't reeled over that much. It may happen later, but I know next spring, but we had, it really had finally culminated. I think the third year charm thing was working in our corner. And it just was going to be a while because we'd co-sponsored or co-partnered with the city of Cookeville. And I think it was going to be a really, really great event, but we still have next spring.
I totally believe that. And I think that people's perspective in the world has changed a little bit, and just on what's important. And Earth Day is probably something that people will just take a little bit more notice of than they may
formerly. I agree.
You know, the world has slowed down and people are noticing things in bloom and animals going where they haven't gone before. And
I think it's made us all appreciate things, life itself, a little more.
Yeah. So tell me why, what in your history makes you really involved with Earth Day and environmental sciences?
Again, that's a big question that we could just dive into here. So for me also, I'm not a person who really sits idle very much. I'm pretty hyper. My attention span kind of is a little short, but I use that to my advantage where I try to do multiple things at once. And Earth Day has been one of those. And I've done Earth Days at other colleges. When I worked with Northern Virginia Community College, which is a little larger place up there, it was in Loudoun County. We did an Earth Day event up there where we actually had Josh Fox, who was the director producer of Gasland, which I recommend everybody watch. It's about hydraulic fracturing or fracking. And they were fixing to frack in the George Washington National Forest. So this was back in 2013, I guess. So it's been a few years. But when I found out they were fixing to do this hydraulic fracking, which is a form of oil drilling, but it's like oil drilling on steroids. And so it can potentially cause pretty extensive environmental damage, especially the underground watershed, not to mention all the other, just there's a multitude of environmental factors and hazards that go along with fracking. And I just felt pretty strongly we shouldn't be fracking in George Washington National Forest. So that Earth Day event was to sort of highlight the potential pitfalls of that. And that was in Loudoun County's, you know, backyard basically. And it would in the shed or the water would feed into the Potomac River. And so, I only had a 1 year appointment in Virginia, but during that small 1 year, we accomplished a lot. And I don't know, I kind of caught the fever for doing Earth Days after that.
Even before that, as a kid growing up, you're kind of an outdoorsy guy.
I grew up in East Tennessee. Well, my parents moved around quite a bit, but probably as far as biology, environmental science and stuff, when we lived on farms in East Tennessee, it had a big impact on me. And I spent most of my time either, you know, walking along little creeks or in the woods all by myself and just kind of, and I think that I just had a liking for.
Were your parents involved in environmental sciences issues?
No, but they're more humanitarian people. Mm-hmm. My mom, for years here in Putnam County, she's retired now, was a vision specialist. So she was, you know, there. And my father worked in education as well as with people as well. In fact, his last job before he retired was director of Pace Setters here in Cookeville.
Oh, okay.
So they're people, but I was more the biology science guy.
So your parents have been here as well. And so when did you come to Putnam County?
Yeah. So I went to part of my grade school and high school here, but I got married relatively young to a woman who I love very deeply, Tammy. And oh my gosh, we met, it's been over 30 years now. And the funny thing is when I, one of the first lines was I asked her to go to Hawaii with me. I didn't know her that well. And she agreed to go, and I knew she was the one. I just knew that kind of spirit is, and it just, and you know,
how old were you when you met her?
Well,
if it's been 30 years,
yeah, been 30, yeah.
Maybe 10 or so.
Yeah. So back when I was in my early 20, we moved away. And we lived in California and stuff, and we've lived all over South Carolina, Atlanta, Florida, Virginia, Colorado, and finally we've moved back, and now we're here to stay. Our parents are here. My father passed away last year, but our parents were here, and that was important to us to bring. And we have a 17-year-old son now, and we homeschooled him up until high school, and so he's gone to high school here, and that brought us back. Just.
In case you're just joining us, we have Dr. Mark Green, Associate Assistant Professor at Vol State in Environmental Sciences and Biology. And so what made you, what settled on Putnam County? I mean, you've been all over the country, it sounds like.
Oh, yeah.
And so what's magical about here?
So I like it here, but it was a family. That was just because both our parents were here. So that's what brought us back here. But what an incredible place it is, really. And I've traveled around. But I enjoy just the limestone country here, the karst environment, the topography here is just a very neat, interesting, littered with waterfalls and trees kind of place to live.
Well, and so you do have a love for outdoors, and you mentioned maybe a little bit of ADD kind of running through. But the other thing that's kind of neat is that do you think you would have been able to make an impactful Earth Day event or just the green initiative that you've really instilled in this community, do you think you would have been able to make such an impact in a larger area?
Maybe. Just because Loudoun County was very successful. I think, and I kind of caught the bug.
Yeah.
And so I've tried to recreate that. If you really self-evaluated, is some of it for myself probably. But I do enjoy, and I'm not, and those that know me, and probably including you, I'm not a very detailed person, and I rely on other people a lot. And I don't, as much as I enjoy sort of helping lead the band, I don't want to take all the credit, because Stephanie Voris and many others, Lori Richards and Lauren Wheaton and 100 other people, Randy Dotson, and I could keep going, were helping me. And I love the part I enjoy about orchestrating those events are the connections that are made between the people and pulling people together. And so I'm more like a cheerleader or a team leader in that regard. And that's the energy that I am empowered by with other people.
I think that's pretty similar to how I do things. I'm not a detail person, and the details kind of stress me out. And then the details people, the fact that I'm like, we can do it. We got it. Right. Just go. That stresses them out. But
there's a synergy.
Yes. And I really realize you can get so much done when you have the right elements. And if you only work with somebody like yourself, you're not getting anything done.
Right. Exactly.
So you've been here back in Putnam County for about how long now?
I guess going on 3 years.
Okay.
Back here.
And you, started teaching right away at Vol State?
I did. So I've always taught environmental science and biology. And I worked, the funny thing is, I've worn many hats in the past too. I was in the military for when I was young. When Tammy and I first were married, I joined the infantry. I didn't know really what the infantry was entailed.
But it sounded cool.
It did. And it took us to California, which was pretty neat. But I realized quickly I was assigned to a rapid deployment air assault unit, spent most of my time down in Panama or Korea, even saw combat down in Panama. So it changed me. It caused me to sort of grow up rather quickly. But when we moved back to Cookeville for a while, I worked with Avery Express. So there was a time where we were back in Cookeville when I was in my 20s. But I worked with Avery Express in middle management for 13 years before I even went back to school to even get my undergraduate degree. But then I caught on fire with that. And I finished up my master's at Tech and moved away while I was working on my doctorate, which my committee wasn't really all that excited about, but I had ideas and I mm-hmm. needed to do things. One thing my wife, I think, has always inspired me to push myself. When I was in South Carolina, I was really sort of floundering on my, I was almost ABD. I had to finish my research and I didn't exactly know what to do. And I spent time wandering around the woods, looking at invasive non-native plants, that kind of thing. But I was distracted by lichens, which are, I won't get into a long-winded discussion what lichens are, but they're a very unique composite kind of organism. It's a symbiotic relationship between fungi and algae. And anyways, they grow all over the trees everywhere and rocks and everything. And I was distracted by that. My wife goes, why don't you do research with lichens? And so I like, maybe. And well, in the meantime, she'd done her own research and found that just in North Carolina, there was a lab at Duke University, and this guy named Francois Lazzoni runs that lab up there. And he's probably the one of the world-renowned lichenologists that exists today. And she said, why don't you call him? I'm like, are you crazy? And but she would push me. All my life, she sort of pushed me to do those kind of things. He had confidence in me. Mm-hmm. And so I called, and here's my Tennessee little guy. I call Francois, and of course, I don't know French, and so I said, Francois. And so I talked to Francois for a while before I really knew that it's Francois. But he invited me up there, and he was so intrigued with some of my ideas with my research that he invited me to work at Duke University, and it took me quite some time to just realize that I'd been invited by Duke to come and do research. And so I had that little card in my hands, and my committee back here at Tennessee Tech, they started taking me serious again with my research. And so he helped me land NSF funding and complete my doctorate. And also the University of Alabama, I did some work there with another guy, Juan Lopez Batista, but it really made my dissertation very strong because I had the stamp of Duke and NSF funding and University of Alabama. And in the backdrop, nothing against Tennessee Tech, but, you know, Tennessee Tech was also, but I had a lot of other institutions that sort of played a part. And it gave me this inner strength. And I realized that came from the fact that my wife, who loves me so much, believed in me. And I've sort of transferred that to in the classroom. And you know how you sort of evolve as you progress as a teacher, as a mentor. And, you know, when you really believe in somebody and you know somebody can do something, to empower somebody to move forward is an incredible feeling as a teacher. And I've done that with students now, and it's kind of neat.
Right after the commercial, we're going to get back into a little bit more about your classroom and what you're teaching over
okay.
there.
Okay. All right. That'd be cool.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. OfficeMart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. OfficeMart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at OfficeMart.
Welcome back to Local Matters on News Talk 94.1. I'm Tiffany Anton with the Biz Foundry, and I have Dr. Mark Green, Assistant Professor at Vol State in Environmental Science and Biology. Such a mouthful.
It is.
Thanks, Mark. So we were just talking a little bit about kind of the things that shaped you to be the professor that you are today. And so tell me a little bit. I think that Vol State is a little under... recognized, underknown in this community. So tell me a little bit more about Vol State. And
right. So Vol State here in Cookeville is actually nested in the Cookeville Higher Education Campus. And that in itself, I understand, can be kind of confusing because most people associate when that building was first constructed, it's Nashville State. And so Nashville State's no longer there. And primarily, it's Vol State classes that are taught there. We also have TCAD and Tennessee Tech. That are there, but 90% of the classes and what's going on is Vol State. And it's the college there that's on Neal Street. But really, over the last few years, I think Ball State is sort of grown here. People are becoming more accustomed to hearing Ball State and seeing us. And
Ball State is based out of where their main
the main hub is in Gallatin.
Okay.
Yeah. And but I think it's starting to pick up some steam, and we're getting more immersed in the community. Yeah.
What do you feel like is the biggest benefit to teaching at a place like Ball State as opposed to a place like Tennessee Tech?
Okay. And I've taught at many different places, and I like the personal aspect. The class sizes are, in comparison to the big 80 to 100 people lecture halls, which those are fun too. They're just different entities altogether. But when you have a class of 20 or 30 students, you really can have much better intimate one-on-one contact with the students. And I enjoy that. I really do.
And I've seen you interact with some of the, you're the advisor for the Green Team, and some mm-hmm. of the Green Team members have been part of the Earth Day planning.
Yeah, they get
and,
so excited.
I just that interaction of you with those, I mean, you kind of take these kids under your wing.
I love
and
it.
You just really, I mean, I was a high school teacher at one point, and mm-hmm. it really seems like that kind of relationship where it's, you know what's going on in their lives, or you know where they're planning on going in their careers.
Yeah, and most of them, I mean, either they're non-traditionals, maybe coming back, but many of them are sort of young, and they have they still have their whole life in front of them, and it's exciting to see when you sort of catch wind of what interests them, what excites them, to help open up doors of possibilities for them. And you can certainly create energy within a whole classroom. I remember when I was teaching in Virginia, it was an honors topics class. And Virginia was a sort of a pivotal point for me too, I think, because of the big Earth Day I did or was a part of. But the topics class, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to see how much we can accomplish. And it was over the course of the summer, and they were undergraduates, and it was a 2-year college. But I pushed those guys. I didn't let them know that I'm pushing them to the level of a master's degree course at doing a research paper. But many of them, you know, pumped out over the course of the summer, a 25-30 page research paper. I had one that landed an internship with Smithsonian, working with Coy Wolf, which was really interesting because there was reports of Coy Wolf in some of the national reserves there, and so they were doing tracking of those. I had another student that worked in conjunction with Woods Hole and did work with penguins. I had another student that constructed solar panels to power his DJ business he's had to create energy. He used a solar panel and in conjunction with the dance floor that the motions or vibrations of the dance floor provided electricity for his equipment. I mean, it was phenomenal what they accomplished. And I didn't let them know they had any restraints and pumped them full of positive energy and, affirmation that they're doing great. And they did great.
Now that you have a 17-year-old at home, how do you think that that's changed you as a professor, having an older child yourself?
Oh.
I mean, you've taught at different places for years now.
Yes. Spencer's incredible. He's my son. He's 17. And he pushes me in a lot of different ways. He challenges my intellect, and I was not prepared for that. But I'm so excited to see what direction he heads, and it changes, you know, and I don't want him, I'm nervous if he decides this is what he's going to do, because it does change from week to week. Currently, law school is in order, but mm-hmm. I know that could change, you know, tomorrow.
How do you think that has affected your teaching and kind of those, you know?
It does help me relate mm-hmm. to the students that are coming into my classroom now.
Yeah. Do you feel like you kind of are fatherly to these others?
I do.
Probably more so than when you were closer to their age.
20 years ago, I was a little more jittery in front of the class. Yeah. Now I'm just energized.
Right.
The thing is with today's learners, today's students, so many of them, I call it ephemeral learning or just-in-time learning, to where, you know, I'm sort of the last of those that were educated with the traditional books, traditional lecture, I'm very appreciative of that, because there's some deep knowledge that you have there. It's almost like my hard drive is pretty big. But some of these younger guys, they have an incredible sort of temporary memory or ability to access information that's out there and let it go on, go to something else. And here's an example. This was a couple of years ago. My son, he's got a shop down in our garage, and he built an arc welder. I didn't know he was doing that, but he showed it to me in the driveway, and he's like, "Look at this, Dad!" And it dang near blinded both of us. And I was like, "What is that?" He was like, "It's an arc welder." And so he used the internet, YouTube, and other information to be able to do this, and it was pretty technical. And there's many other things that he's built, but that's kind of how our students work today. They know how to extract that information. Now you have to maybe as a professor help them with discernment and what is good information, bad information, but they learn a whole different way, and you have to adapt to that.
We find that at the Biz Hunter too, when we ask, okay, well, what's your social media choice? Where do you get your news from? We go to YouTube. I mean, my mind was blown that people would go to YouTube for news. But when you're just in a different kind of, you come up in a different era. I mean, when I started college, we still had dial-up. Well, we were just the cusp of dial-up internet. Right. But, everything was why we had an Ethernet port in our rooms and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
So the world is just...
changed very fast.
Yes, it's so much different.
It's good and bad, I think.
For sure. In case you're just joining us, we have Dr. Mark Green, assistant professor at Vol State, in with us today. So we talked about a little bit about the higher education campus. And so you are feel like you're very, very passionate about Vol State and what you're doing on that campus and just the campus in general. So you mentioned to me earlier that you and Stephanie Voris.
Some people say Voris, but it's Voris.
Is this like a French pronunciation that we need
we could just change your name. Yeah.
Francois. Uh-huh. So you guys are looking at kind of rebranding and just being a little bit more changing the image of the whole campus.
And getting the name out there so people realize, oh, it's a Vol State, not
CHEC, whatever that is.
Right,
or a GED program over there.
Right.
And why would let's just say that some of our listeners are stuck in their car at 5:30 on a Wednesday.
So sorry.
And they are listening to the radio with their parents and not have their headphones on. But why would a 16, 17, 18-year-old, why should they consider Vol State as an option?
I think two main reasons. Number one, cost, because you can essentially go for free with different avenues, whether it's Tennessee Promise but also the contact, the intimate contact and relationships that you make with mentors. And there's a lot of great faculty that work there.
And touch on that a little bit, because at 17, 18 years old, you don't really think that those mentors or those contacts are going to, you don't really realize how much, I mean, people at 25, 30 years old don't understand how much those can affect your whole life.
They really can. They can set a trajectory for you. And I think the kind of contact that you can get at Vol State really can help younger people or even people coming back sort of hammer out exactly what they want to do we've got some experience.
Yeah, here. and a big thing with somebody like you who's involved with committees and you're very involved with your church. The last time we spoke, you had been out doing tornado cleanup with your church for a while. And so let's say you have 100, 200 people in your fairly close inner circle that, maybe some of these students need something or they need a contact or a leg up. Those connections are so important.
Yes. In fact, it's umbrellaed under Lori Richards, but Stephanie and Lori and myself, we all work with that because we're all Rotarians. We've started a Rotaract club there on campus, which has really grown. And of course now, it's a little difficult just because we're so social distance.
Tell me a little bit. So you're part of the Sunset Rotary Club of Cookeville.
Yeah.
And so tell me a little bit about just a brief, what is Rotary?
Right. So we're this has sort of stymied us over the last few months, but we're the nighttime one. We're the Sunset Rotary. So we typically...
You might have a cheers here and there.
Right. Yeah. We might have a toast or two, but we typically meet at Nick's we're just very involved in the community, whether it's, helping, get food to people or just be involved with cleanups. They've worked in conjunction with the Clean Commission with me. This coming season, I will be the vice president. And then the next season, I'll be the president of the Sunset chapter here.
All right. Well, so we're about out of time. How can people find you, Dr. Mark Green?
I guess on the campus, you want to email?
Sure. What's your email address?
Let's go with mark.green@volstate.edu.
There you go. Thank you for coming in today, and it was great to hear from you.
Okay. Thank you.